Om Shanti. Today we are going to talk about the third quality of the Supreme Soul, Akarta. To be Akarta means to be beyond karma. Beyond karma has two connotations. One is to be beyond action, and the second is to be beyond the fruits of action. Being beyond action means not to have any kind of internal memory associated with any action which can pull you back into rebirth. Being beyond action also means that all the actions that you perform on this stage of earth are either prepaid for, or the fruit of that is also not received by you. So when we look at the nature of the Supreme Soul or Shiv Baba, we will find that Baba is Akarta not because he does not perform any action on this stage of this earth, but because of the reason that all of his actions are prepaid for. Let me give you an example. For example, during bhakti, we call out to Shiva and worship him, and we perform this action of bhakti for n number of births. When Baba comes into our lives, Baba returns the fruit of that bhakti back to us in the form of knowledge. So there are two aspects of how Baba is Akarta in this. One is he does not partake of the fruit of the bhakti because it is given to his image and not directly to him, but because it was done in his name, he is responsible for it. Hence, the fruit of bhakti, the action of bhakti which Baba receives, Baba returns the fruit of that to us when he meets us in the form of knowledge. So the karma of bhakti which we give to Baba is paid for by Baba. We have to understand this karmic accounting, because many people mistakenly believe that akarta means being in a state where you do not perform any actions. This is not so. Even God is not free from performing actions. Even God does not get mukti from his role. He has to come for the time period that he incarnates and perform actions here. But he does not partake of the fruit of the actions, and he prepays for whichever actions we are going to perform. So this was the first aspect of bhakti which Baba pays us back in the form of knowledge. Hence we will find that certain children of Baba have a very grand role. As soon as they come into gyan, Baba chooses them for certain tasks, and we can see that they are almost like celebrated by Baba. The reason for this is that the quality of that bhakti has been so special that Baba has to return their bhakti in that form, and Baba has to give them that fruit of that bhakti by giving them the chance to recreate their destiny. So this was one aspect of the karma of bhakti. And then later on, as our bhakti karma gets over and we receive the fruit of it in the form of knowledge, we again interact with Baba either through Sakar Baba or through Avyakt Baba in the form of thoughts. So when we are interacting with Baba, we are again performing actions with God. And Baba comes every year for the Murlis, so he does perform actions. But this karma of Baba is prepaid for. in the sense that Baba teaches us how to remember him. So Baba always says that first there is yaad and then there is pyar. So there is a connection between these two terms. Since Baba is a karta, the only action that we have to perform is to remember him, which is what he emphasizes and re-emphasizes in the Murlis, that remember me, because this act of remembering him invites him to into the drama to act. So we remember him and we kind of prepay for whatever actions he is going to give us or perform with us. And in return, Baba's return is multi-million fold. For other souls, karma, the karmic accounting is very perfect. It comes in the form and goes in the form exactly as it has been sent and received. But with Baba, this is the you can say this is the principle of maximal greatness that many people attribute to God. With Baba, the simple task of giving him one thought of remembrance attracts multi-million fold returns from Baba. That is the speciality. So Baba is, since he is the bestower, he will give us a lot of things. But the first act that we have to do is to remember him. So by remembering him, we are paying for that karma and Baba bestows things in return to us. So he stays a karta. So the only our remembrance, our act of remembrance is like a prepayment for Baba's karma. And when Baba returns back that karma in the form of all the treasures that he gives us, he stays a karta. So these were the two aspects of karma here on this planet Earth. When Baba comes, the karma of bhakti and the karma of remembrance, because of which Baba stays a karta, because one, he pays back by giving knowledge, and the second, he asks for us to deposit thoughts of remembrance or service, and in return he pays it back. So this is the way he stays a karta in regarding these two aspects of karma on this planet Earth. Now we will talk about the fruit of karma. The fruit of karma that Baba receives, but since Baba gives us multi-million fold karma during this short time, so Baba has said in many Murlis that I do not partake of the result that comes from the fruit of karma. I bestow even that to the children. So the fruit of Baba's karma of acting with us on this stage creates results in the form of deity beings. And we here, we remember Baba and we give service in his name and we give all the actions that we perform in his name. So Baba holds all this temporarily as a trust in the form of a bank. And when Baba, so the fruit of whatever we are performing is also held by God. And our remembrance is also held by God. Because Baba cannot partake of any thoughts or karma on this planet Earth. So he has to bestow everything back. So our remembrance is also held, although it is a requisition that you remember in order for Baba to bestow anything on you. But at the same time, Baba does not partake of our remembrance also. He holds that in trust. And all that cumulative karma which is collected with Baba, Baba then gives us back in the form of the sovereignty of Satyug. He gives us the fruit of that karma. Whatever karma we perform here, whatever karma Baba performs here, whatever is the return of all that karma, he holds it in trust and gives us back in the form of the sovereignty of Satyug for 21 births. So in essence, Baba goes back as he comes. He comes a karta, without any karma, then he takes Brahma Baba's body on loan and then teaches us how to remember him so that we can deposit karma with him, and then he teaches us also to act like him, to act selflessly so that we learn to go beyond karma. And he gives us the fruit of bhakti, then he asks for remembrance from us, which he holds in deposit, and the fruit of all the cumulative karma of all the souls, his children and other souls also, those who have given any form of remembrance or bhakti to him. Baba returns all of that before he leaves to that particular soul or souls in the form of destiny. So when the soul will, when we know that we are getting the destiny in the form of the fortune of the sovereignty, but the other souls may or may not know that they are receiving the destiny, but still Baba will bestow that destiny back to them. And when they go back to the, when the gates of mukti are opened, these souls will go back with the feeling of the destiny having been received from God. So Baba does not carry even a single thought with him when the cycle finishes back to Paramdham. So in this way, by bestowing the fruits of the actions that we perform, that Baba perform, the bestowing all that he holds in trust for us, Baba always constantly stays akarta. So although Baba performs action, he still stays akarta. And the only simple reason, instead of going into this complications, the simple reason that we have to understand is that Baba is constantly not experiencing the fruit of the action. He is constantly soul conscious. So his nature of being a bhokta, which we spoke about before, also makes him akarta. Although he receives, he performs actions, he receives the fruit, but he does not partake of the fruit. He holds it in trust like a bank, and before going back, he bestows that fruit to us back in the form of the sovereignty of Satyug and in the form of memories of bhakti too, which is what is reawakened after 2500 years. So in this way, by giving, we can say, or giving constantly or bestowing constantly, Baba stays akarta, and at the same time Baba also stays akarta because he never experiences the fruit. He does not feel either pleasure or pain because a child did not or did remember him, or Baba does not experience, he is beyond experience. So his nature of a bhokta also makes him akarta. So we too can practice being akarta by remembering that we have to give constantly. We do not hold anything for ourselves. We become constant bestowers like Baba. And the second thing is that we have to take our minds to this stage where whatever we receive, it could be adulation, appreciation, love, affection, whatever we receive from the people whom we serve, we do not accept or hold that fruits in our mind. We have to learn to be the stage which is mentioned in the Gita, which is called as sthiti pragya, that you're enlightened enough to stay in that soul conscious form at all times and not accept or receive anything mentally or physically. So when we have this consciousness of not using somebody else's service for us, or when we have the consciousness of giving everything back to the yagya, this entire world is Baba's yagya, so we can give back service in any manner which we want. So when we are constantly bestowing something back, and at the same time when we are not in the experience of whatever we are receiving, when we have learned to be enlightened enough to be soul conscious and not receive back the fruits of that karma or hold it in our mind or hearts, that is the time that we can be a karta. Despite the complications that I had to use to explain this, because this is a process of karma and accounting, and we have to understand how Baba works before we understand how we have to work on this planet Earth. So thanks for listening, and Om Shanti.